Chapter 17. My Life Experiences with Grief and Miracles. My Experiences with Grief. If not processed and felt, grief will wait below the surface until it is experienced. Grief needs to be felt and processed completely in order for us to move past it. It can be delayed for some time, but it doesn't go away until it's processed. There are 5 stages in processing grief, which occur in the following order: denial and isolation, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. My biggest challenges with grief began over 10 years ago when my dad died of heart failure. And then, 6 months later, my mom died unexpectedly on an Easter Sunday. The last time I spoke with my mom was a week before her death. Due to an argument, the last thing I said to her was, "Don't call me anymore." Then I hung up the phone. I was very sad at the time because my mom had always been the warmest and most loving person I had ever known. But alcoholism took her away in the end. After her death, I withdrew into isolation. I remember feeling that my history had been erased somehow, with both my parents gone now. The 2 people who knew me and loved me most were gone. My life felt empty, like a ghost town, with its purpose and meaning now in question. A few months after my mom's death, I became involved in a relationship with a woman I didn't get along with very well, but with whom I had a passionate physical chemistry, not a good combination. I didn't have much to bring to the relationship and was using it as a distraction to avoid my grief. But I remained in a deep depression, feeling numb most of the time, just going through the motions of my life. Within a month of the beginning of that relationship, my partner became pregnant and had an abortion. A month later, she had a miscarriage because it turned out that she had been pregnant with twins, and the doctors had been unaware of that when they performed the abortion. So it was the second twin that miscarried. Thus, all within 9 months, I experienced the abortion of my twins and the death of both of my parents. During the 2 years of that relationship, there was a constant cloud of sadness in and around me. For those 2 years, I was isolated in the depression stage of grief. Then, when the relationship suddenly ended, I felt completely alone for the first time in my life. The grief that I had buried and avoided after the deaths of my dad, mom, and the aborted twins came rushing back and hit me all at once. I had a sadness and grief on a level that completely devastated me for months. A constant, heavy, empty, dark feeling completely engulfed my daily life. In fact, the anxious pain became so severe that I actually passed out from it twice. The grief was just waiting to be processed. Grief doesn't go away by avoiding it. It just waits to be felt and processed in the future. The 2-year relationship had been a distraction for me to avoid feeling my grief and processing it. When you avoid and do not process grief, it hides under the surface as depression and waits. Based on my own experiences, I would advise you, when you encounter loss and grief, to feel it. Don't try to avoid it. Experience it fully. Don't run from it. Move toward it and feel it. Grief is like an hourglass. When you flip it over and start experiencing the feelings, there's a limited amount of time to process the grief, and then it ends. But all the sand, all the grief, needs to drain out. The more you feel and process, the more you're putting behind you, and the more you won't need to feel that again in the future. Once you have totally processed the grief, you enter its final stage, which is acceptance. Remember, feelings will never kill you. Move toward them, not away. Embrace them. Look at the pictures and listen to the songs that remind you of what makes you sad, and cry as much as you can. Crying drains the hourglass. Each minute of feeling grief takes you closer to acceptance, which is a place of no more pain. Each moment of feeling your pain brings you closer to being done with it and moving past it. Drain it completely. Do not avoid the feelings that hurt. Experience them as much as you can. It's all right to be sad and cry. People are supposed to cry. The more we cry, the closer we come to ending the grieving process. We need to process the emotions so that we can get through the grief cycle, which ends in acceptance. If we don't process the grief, we stay stuck in denial, anger, and depression. Grief follows the death of loved ones, the end of relationships, the loss of health, and the loss of financial security. The miracle healing story of my dad's pancreatic cancer. 20 years earlier, when I was 24 and going to college in Montana, I got the news that my dad had pancreatic cancer. He called me from Louisiana and said the doctors had told him he had only a month to live, 1 month. His attitude and personality had changed drastically since the last time I had spoken to him. He was no longer the stern, strict, critical man I had known all my life. Suddenly, he had become humble and kind. The barriers that had separated us before dropped away, and he talked to me as if I were an equal, a friend, for the first time ever. Within days of getting the news about his diagnosis, my dad booked a flight to fly up to Montana to spend a week with me in my apartment. He met all my friends as we hung out. What an amazing time we had together, talking in a way that we had never talked before. Because we believed that he only had a month to live, we made the time as special as we could. After visiting me, my dad left to say goodbye to his friend Mex, an old Navy buddy who lived in New Mexico. During that time with his friend, something very powerful and supernatural happened. When my dad first arrived, Mex told him, "Hey, we're going to take a trip in my car up to a place I want you to see. I want to show you something." That was pretty much all he said, so my dad went along with it. Mex drove my dad up to a place called El Santuario de Chimayo, a Roman Catholic church located in the mountains of Chimayo, New Mexico. The church has been there ever since the early 1800s. Nearby, there is a well in the ground where the earth is dark red. Because the well is believed to contain holy dirt, people who go there put a pinch of the dirt in their mouths and then, inside the church, they ask God to heal them. In some cases, people have been healed instantly. So when my dad and Mex arrived there, my dad said, "What's this?" They had driven for over an hour and a half, and now they were parked in front of a little church in the middle of nowhere up in the mountains of New Mexico. Pointing toward the well, Mex said, "Get out and go to that well over there. Get a pinch of the red dirt out of it and put it in your mouth. Then go inside the church and ask God to heal you." My dad's first reaction was to get mad. "What the hell are you bringing me up here for?" he said. "I don't want to do this. What are you doing? I'm not religious." So they argued for a bit, and then, since they were already there, my dad decided that he would go ahead and do what Max had suggested. Still a little angry, he got out of the car, got a pinch of the red dirt from the well, put it in his mouth, and went inside the church, where he found that he was the only one inside. It was a small place, about the size of a 7-Eleven store, and there were crutches leaning against the walls on both sides, which had been left there by people who had been healed before. While standing inside the empty church, my dad decided to ask God to heal him. "God," he said, "I haven't done what you wanted me to do much of the time, but I'd really like to live longer, and if it's your will, help me to live longer and heal me, please." At that precise moment, he felt a sensation come into the top of his head and travel down from there throughout his entire body, all the way down to his feet. The sensation made him uncomfortable, as if he were hearing fingernails scratching on a chalkboard. That made him cringe and recoil, to the point where his knees buckled, causing him to fall to the ground. At that very moment, as was later confirmed by his doctors, the pancreatic cancer, a malignant tumor that had already taken over 50% of his pancreas, suddenly turned benign. The cancer was gone. He was healed. My dad didn't know all that at that moment, but he knew something had happened because of the sensation that had made him fall to the ground. Was it something to do with the dirt? Was it a combination of eating the dirt and the prayer? Was it the location? It's a mystery. But the fact is that an inexplicable miracle did occur. My dad was instantly healed from an incurable disease. A week later, after my dad returned home, he went to see his doctors. They ran all the cancer tests again, and this time everything came out normal. The tumor, which had been malignant, was now benign. The doctors had no medical explanation for this and were tongue-tied. None of his three doctors could explain it, other than to say it was a miracle. "Yes," one of them said, "a miracle occurred. There's simply no other explanation, sir." It seems that this should have been on the news, right? An actual miracle. But you know what? I didn't even believe this story myself until years later. When my dad first told it to me, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it was God. And yet, Dad's cancer had somehow been cured. When Dad first told me the story, he left out some details, so it wasn't until years later that he told me about the sensation in the top of his head, his knees going out, and his collapsing to the ground. After I heard those details, I believed the miracle had happened. I had to hear about the physical sensations for such an extraordinary experience to make logical sense to me. Sometimes the truth can be right in front of us, and we can still find a way not to see it. It's amazing how we can do that. My dad ended up living another 17 years after being instantly healed of pancreatic cancer. What a gift to be able to experience life for that much longer. He ultimately died of congestive heart failure. He's been gone for 10 years now, but I have zero doubt that he experienced a true miraculous healing. After that miraculous experience in New Mexico, my dad started going to a Catholic church where he testified about what had happened to him. He loved talking to people and he loved telling his story. He wanted to help people by inspiring them to go to the well. That was my dad's way of giving back, helping people to get healed. Before he died, I asked him, "How many people do you think you sent to Chimayo who actually got healed? If you had to put a percentage on it, how many?" He thought for a while and finally said, "Probably around 5%. One of the miraculous stories he told me was about a lady he knew from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where he lived and where I'm originally from. The lady, who came from a rich local family, had melanoma all over both her arms, and her doctors said it was too far gone for them to be able to do anything about it. Huge spots of melanoma were spreading fast. When my dad met her one day at church and she shared her story with him, he told her to go to Chimayo. So she went, and when she came back, my dad said, she came running up my driveway and beating on my front door yelling, "Roy, Roy, look, God healed me. Look, look at my arms, look." Then she told my dad that when she went inside the church and asked God to heal her, the melanoma cancer spots instantly vanished right in front of her eyes. That's a hard one to believe, right? If I didn't come to believe in my dad's miracle, I probably wouldn't have believed hers. It's hard for us to believe in miracles because we don't see many firsthand. Or if we do, we try to explain them away, automatically assuming that there must be some logical explanation that we don't know about. I am telling this story to encourage people to go to the well at Chimayo, just as my dad did. Miracles do happen. My dad contacts me in a dream. 3 days after my dad died, I had a lucid dream, meaning I knew I was inside a dream as I was having it. In the dream, he called me on the phone to give me a message from the other side. His voice sounded peaceful, loving, and excited, not his normal, serious tone. When I realized I was dreaming, I pulled the dream phone away from my ear and questioned whether any of this were real. Inside the dream, I asked myself, "Is this real? Wait, I know I'm in a dream." Then I decided it had to be real, so I put the dream phone back up to my ear to keep listening to what my dad was telling me from the other side. Dad's primary message was to tell me, "It's all good." He meant not to worry about this life or to take it too seriously. In the end, he said not to worry about his human death or my own that was coming. Life continues. Wow. Thanks, Dad, for letting me know that. Then he ended the call with, "Hey, I have to go, but I wanted to let you know that I love you and I'm proud of you, and it's all good." That dream was my second major spiritual experience. After that call, I no longer grieved over his death. I knew now that he lived on in spirit. Of course, I was sad that he was gone from here because I missed him. but I was more excited that he had contacted me to let me know that it's all good and just to hang in there and do my best without worrying and taking everything too seriously.